Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
You know, this time of year, Thanksgiving, is a wonderful time of year. I think it is for most of us. But I'm especially drawn to a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And around this time of year, I'm just drawn to these verses, kind of like a magnet. They help put me in the right frame of mind. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. And I love when the Bible gives me clear-cut directions on how to live life. I mean, it's just so much easier. And this is exactly what the Apostle Paul does here. And so let's look at these verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. He says, "Be joyful always," or "rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." He lays it right out there. Sometimes we wonder, God, what is your will for me? What is it that you desire for me? How should I live? What do I need to be doing with my life? It's laid out right here for us, as easy as ABC, 1, 2, 3. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. This ought to be the defining characteristic of God's people. This is what ought to identify us and set us apart from the world. Because we are so filled with Christ and His love and His purposes, this is how God wants us to live. The first one and the last one, rejoice always or be joyful always and give thanks in all circumstances, they're similar. They bookend this call to be in constant prayer. They're similar, but they're also different. This first one, be joyful always or rejoice always, in the Greek, it has the notion of this is our demeanor. This is who we are to be. It's the idea of you walking into a room, and without even saying a word, you're so filled with Christ that people can just see the joy of Christ beaming in your eyes, in your face, in your demeanor. It's simply who you are. You are a joy-filled person because Christ resides in you. Without even saying a word, people can see the joy of Christ in you. Then the last one, give thanks, is similar to the first one, but in the Greek, it's a little bit different in that in the words that we speak, we are to express the joy that we have in Christ. And so whereas the first one, be joyful always, this is our demeanor, this is who we are, then Paul says, give thanks, verbalize your thanks. Be expressive about the joy that you have in Christ. And then, right in the middle, is this call to pray continuously. It's this idea that we live our lives every day with this constant awareness of God's presence. As the psalmist said, God, where can I go from your presence? I can't hide from you. I can't hide from your presence. And so when we pray continually, it's this notion that I am aware of God's presence with me 24/7, day or night, night or day, wherever I go, north, south, east, or west, God is with me. And if God is with me, and He is, then I'm in constant communication with Him. There's this intimate bond between me and God, constant communication. I must learn to hear His voice, and He wants to hear my petitions to Him. It's kind of like if you're married And if you have a good relationship, you know each other pretty well. Renee and I will have been married, we're coming up on 29 years, and she knows me really well. We can go to a restaurant, and if we've been to the restaurant before, this is how well she knows me. She'll know exactly what I want to order. I mean, there are many times she'll just say, John, I'm going to order for you, and I trust her completely because she knows me. Or if we go to a new restaurant that we've never been at before, she still knows me well enough to know to look at the menu and go, I know John would like this, but not like that. There's this constant awareness of who we are. We know each other very well. Sometimes we finish each other's sentences. And the same is true with God. Everywhere we go, He's with us. He knows us. And as we walk and grow in faith, we get to know Him as well. And so it's a joy to pray continuously because I'm aware of God's presence with me all the time. And so I love what Paul does here. He lays it out for us very clearly, very clear cut. And I'm drawn to these verses this time of year because they teach me, they remind me, they encourage me, they form me to be the person of God He wants me to be. And so my prayer today is my prayer for you as well. Lord, help me to be a joyful person. In a world of cynicism, in a world of skepticism, in a world where we look at the election results and we shake our heads and we wonder what is going on, in a world where we look at the evening news and we just facepalm, you know, every night when we watch the news, it can be easy to be cynical people, right? God, I don't want to be like that. The world is already too cynical. The world is already too negative. Christ resides in me. I want to be joyful always. And I'll admit, that can be hard to do. It really can be. And so that's why I go back to the scriptures. God, help me to be joyful always. Lord, help me to be always aware of Your presence in my life. Constant communication with You. Lord, help me to get to know You better, deeper, more intimately, more fully. May I be more aware of Your presence in my life. May I be in constant communication with You. And then there are times that I go into my prayer closet and I'm so focused and intent in just talking to You, and maybe even more importantly, just listening to You, hearing Your voice. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice. Lord, with all the clamoring voices out there, and there are many, help me to hear Your voice above all others. And then give thanks in all circumstances. There are so many things I can gripe and complain about, right? But Lord, teach me to have this frame of mind, this heart, where I am looking for ways to always be grateful and thankful. I want to share with you a poem that was written about 100 years ago by an anonymous author, but it's very poignant for what I'm talking about today. The poem is entitled, Forgive Me When I Whine. Today upon a bus, I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her. She seemed so happy. And how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but she passed with a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweets, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh, God, forgive me when I whine. I have 2 eyes. The world is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. He seemed to know not what to do. I stopped for a moment, then I said, "Why don't you join the others, dear?" He looked ahead without a word. Then I knew that he could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The world is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset's glow, with ears to hear what I would know, I am blessed indeed. The world is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I'm guilty. God, forgive me when I whine. I have so much to be thankful for. And maybe that's part of why I love this time of year so much, because it is a reminder to me to count my blessings, to name them one by one. Count your many blessings. I love what someone said, "I'm too blessed to be stressed and too grateful to be hateful." I love that. I want that to be my motto. What I want for us to do in the time that we have remaining is I want to guide us into developing a gratitude list. And if you got a bulletin, you'll see on the very cover is a space to write down our gratitude list. Part of our spirituality in Christ is to be grateful for what we have. And so I want to spend the rest of the time we have kind of directing us in ways that we should be thankful. And if you have a pen or pencil, there should be a pencil in the pew rack there in front of you. If you want to write here on your gratitude list, that's what these are there for. If you have a separate piece of paper, if you have a notepad app on your phone, you can use that as well. But I want to kind of direct us today into areas that I think are important that we need to give God thanks for. There are many others, of course, and I'm sure many will come to your mind. And if God leads you in that direction, you write down what God tells you to be thankful for. But for our first action of gratitude, just write down, say, "God, I am grateful for the gift of today." I know many of you get up every morning and you say, "God, thank you for the gift of life." And you tell me that. You tell me that when you get up in the morning, well, the first thing you do is say, "God, thank you for today. You've given me another day." And if he's gracious, he's going to give you tomorrow. And the day after that, "God, we want to thank you for the gift of today, the gift of life." So take a moment and just reflect on the gift of today, this day of rest, this Lord's Day that he's called us to rest and enjoy his presence. It's a beautiful gift, the gift of life. God, we thank you for today. We thank you that you've given us this day. I pray that we will make the most of every day that you give us. I thank you that you've given us this opportunity to live and breathe and praise you. We thank you for the gift of today. Second, I want you to think of probably the person who's closest to you, dearest to you. And let's just take a moment and just be thankful for the person closest to us. The person who's most dear to me, her birthday's tomorrow. And I am so grateful for Renee. I'm a better person because of her. She compliments me where I am weak. I hurt her feelings last week, and I said something that really hurt her. I didn't realize I was doing it, but when she made me aware of it, my heart sank. I don't want to hurt anybody, let alone the person closest to me. So I got her a dozen roses and some chocolates, and that always helps, right? And she appreciated that. But I think what she appreciated even more was my sincere apology. And so, Renee, I'm grateful for you. Happy birthday tomorrow. We're going to celebrate your day tomorrow. I'm going to take you to your favorite place to eat. And I'm going to get you more flowers. And we're going to celebrate you. Take a moment and thank God for the person who's dearest to you. Thanks be to God for these special people that He puts into our lives. Amen? Take a moment and just write down their name and thank God for who they are. Amen. Thank you, God, for the people very close to us. Help us not to take them for granted. And yes, I know sometimes we can hurt each other, but in those moments that we do, help us to be quick to ask for forgiveness and quick to forgive. For forgiveness itself is a beautiful gift. But I thank you for Renee, and I pray that tomorrow is a very special and meaningful day for her. We thank you for all the dear people in our lives. We thank you for the gift of who they are. In your name we pray. Amen. Now I want you to think about yourself for a moment. And I want you to think about a quality about yourself that God has uniquely gifted you with. And I want you to thank God that He gave you this quality. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you don't like thinking about yourself too much because it can tend to be selfish. But you know what? It's okay to recognize how God has uniquely gifted you. And so take a moment and write down an aspect about who you are that you appreciate about yourself. And thank Him for making you uniquely you. Take a moment and reflect upon how God has uniquely crafted you. Lord, we are uniquely and wonderfully made. You have crafted and created each of us uniquely. And as I look out on this beautiful congregation, I can see areas in each person how they are unique and gifted in certain areas. And I thank you that you've made us different. Some in this room are very creative. Some in this room are very musically inclined. Others have great intellect. Others have just the most caring, compassionate heart for others. And I thank you for the strengths that you give each of us. And we all have at least one strength. We thank you that you created us just as you intended. And we want to use those strengths to glorify you and to help others. In your name we pray. Amen. The other day was Veterans Day. We certainly thank all those who have served our country. We live in an amazing land. We really do. We're not perfect. We have our shortcomings and we have our issues. But let's take a moment and just thank God that we live in this amazing land of freedom. And we thank those who work hard and diligently, often with great sacrifice, to ensure that we live in this great country. Take a moment and let's thank the Lord that we live here where we do. Lord, we thank you that we live right here where we do. Thank you for the history of this nation, the founding of this country, and the many blessings that are afforded to us. The fact that we can come to church freely and worship freely is a blessing in and of itself. We thank you for those who have served and those who continue to serve. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray that that our country would not take the freedoms that we enjoy for granted. So continue to have your hand upon this nation from coast to coast. And we thank you that we live in this land. Amen. This one may seem obvious to you coming from a preacher, but I mean it with all sincerity. I thank the Lord that He has revealed Himself through His Word. And the older I get, the more I fall deeper in love with the Word of God. As you know, on Wednesday nights we've been going through this book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And I just want to read a paragraph from a couple of weeks ago where he so beautifully articulates why we should be thankful for God's Word. He says this. Now, this was written 50 years ago, but it's just as applicable today, maybe even more so. He says, living as we do in an era when numerous confused voices and strange philosophies are presented to people, it is reassuring to the child of God to turn to the Word of God and know it to be our shepherd's hand of authority. What a comfort to have this authoritative, clear-cut, powerful instrument under which to conduct ourselves. By it we are kept from confusion and chaos. This in itself brings into our lives a great sense of quiet serenity, which is precisely what the psalmist meant when he said, "Your rod comforts me." So let's just take a moment and thank God that He has revealed Himself through His Word, that His Word has been preserved for centuries, that the Bible is more accessible to us today than it ever has been, and that if we diligently study and know and meditate on the Word of God, His Word will guide us in paths of righteousness and keep us from self-destruction. Take a moment, write down that you are grateful for God's Word. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. A word which was spoken by the prophets many, many years ago. The word which became flesh in Jesus Christ. The word spoken by the apostles and the early Christians. The scribes who faithfully wrote word for word, letter by letter, on scrolls that were handed down and copied generation after generation, that have been preserved for us to this day. Your word brings comfort, correction, guidance. We need all of it. And so I'm thankful today for your word. This also may be obvious, but sometimes I think maybe we take it for granted. Let's be thankful today for the gift of salvation. I once was blind, but now I see, we sing in that amazing song, Amazing Grace. God's love is so great that He did not leave us to ourselves, but He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever would believe in Him would have eternal life. Thank you, God, for the gift of salvation, that You loved us enough to draw us to Yourself and not leave us to our own. And so take a moment and just thank God for the gift of salvation and eternal life. Lord, I thank You in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That verse right there fills me with overflowing optimism, that You cared enough for us in that while we were still sinners, You loved us enough to save us. And I thank You for the gift of salvation, and I pray more people would receive this gift. We have much to be thankful for today. And I thank You that You love us, that You save us, and that You keep us in Your care. Amen. Now I want you to think of someone in your life that you want to learn to love and appreciate better. We all have those people in our lives that might be a little bit difficult to love. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe they rub us the wrong way. I want us to thank God for that person. And I want us to ask God to help us learn to love them the way God would want us to love them. Think about that person, maybe write their name down, and then let's ask God to help us learn to love them as He loves them. Lord, I thank You for that person that You bring to our mind. That person maybe that we'd rather not think about? That person that maybe we would want to avoid? And yet they are created in the image of God. And you love them just as much as you love us. And Lord, I want to thank you for this person. And I want to ask you to help us to love them and appreciate them the way you do. And we understand it may not be easy. It won't be easy. But we thank you for their life anyway. And I pray, God, that you would work on me to love them as you do. Amen. I'm grateful for the church. I'm grateful that we can gather together. Take a moment and thank the Lord for the gift of the church and that you are a part of this gift. Lord, I thank you so much for the church. A church that has been around for 2,000 years. You started the church at Pentecost, and the church has grown and expanded to every part of the globe. The purpose of the church is eternal and missional. You have called us out of the darkness into the light to reflect your love, your holiness, your grace, your mercy. I thank you, Lord, that I was baptized as an infant into your church. It's part of the body of believers. I thank you for parents who made sure we were in church every Sunday. I thank you that the church was my lifeline in my teen years. Friends that I have to this day that I made in church. I thank you that we could raise our boys in the church. I thank you for friends in the church who comfort us when we need to be comforted and maybe call us out on issues that we need to be called out on, but it's all in love. And I thank you for the fellowship of your church. Someone told me the other week, there's no place they'd rather be on Sunday morning than in your presence. And I thank you for the gift of your church and for these wonderful people.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.